There's a few verses I'd like to read from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. David had, in the knowledge that the temple was going to be built in Jerusalem, and David, in his delight, made an offering for the building of the temple, and the temple which would be built under Solomon's reign. A few verses from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 14 to 16, which I think helped to put what we are reading here into some context, and also help us in thinking of our present context as well today. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, where David says, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own." So, there in that message from David, while the people had entered into the promised land, while they are about to build a permanent place, at least relatively a permanent place for the worship of God in Jerusalem, even here and especially there, maybe even we might say that the people of God have this sense of being sojourners, of passing through this world, that this is not the world that we are given to live in forever, but the world which is to come. And so there's a reflection back there. As our fathers were sojourners, so also that was the case for David. So we are sojourners also. We also pick up what he said there: we are strangers before you, God has reconciled. We were strangers to him, strangers to his promises, strangers to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what David says. That's what Israel was. That's what we are. What God has brought us to himself. And we consider, in view of that, that all things come from you, Lord, and it is only of your own that we have given to you. It is what already belongs to God that is given in response to him. Well, let's just look at this chapter here then in Numbers, and as we've been reading these first two chapters, it becomes clear to us as to why this book is called Numbers, because of the census of the people, the men especially over 20 who were mentioned and counted there in chapter 1 as being prepared to defend and attack, also the warriors of Israel. And then the census carries on to the second chapter here, where we read of the arrangement of the camp. And so as we read of the arrangement of the camp, we are reading of the formation of Israel as it would make its way through the wilderness. Here God is establishing the formation of the tribes, how they would be coordinated, and how they would move through the wilderness, the arrangement of the camp. And there's two aspects then of this I'd like for us to think about tonight. One is what God asks for them to do, and secondly, the arrangement itself. And what God asks them to do is to raise their standards, raise their flags, raise their banners. We can visualize this, the tabernacle, the tribes gathered around the tabernacle and moving as God is leading them, and the flags flying for the tribes, the diversity that there is there among the flags, the colours of the flags, the symbols of the flags moving as one under the hand and instruction of God. And we read there of the way then that this is coordinated, that the flags are raised. It says there in verse 2, the people of Israel shall camp each by his own standard with the banners of their fathers' houses. They shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. And then it goes on to speak about the order in which that would happen. When we read of the banners going up, there are several places in the Old Testament where it speaks about the raising of banners, the raising of standards. It speaks about how God's people are to raise the standards, that is the banners, the flags, to make themselves known that this is what we are for, that we are for God, we are for His Word, to raise the flag, as it were, in the world. And so in Psalm 20, verse 5, may we shout for joy over salvation, over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners, and may God fulfill all your petitions. So in view of God and His salvation, in the name of God, we set up our banners. We set up what it is we believe and what we stand for, and it's what God has given. That is what we stand for with His Son and His Spirit and His Holy Word. Another several verses actually in the book of Isaiah speak of the banners, the standards going up. It speaks of the Lord raising His standard, and think of as Israel is to raise its standard, God also has a standard, a flag, making the signal of who He is and what He stands for and what He shall do in all the earth. So in Isaiah chapter 59, for example, so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's the Isaiah 59, verse 19, the King James Version. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Chapter 60, verse 4, you have set up a banner for those who fear you. That's a wonderful word of comfort and assurance, isn't it? That God, we think of the banners or the flags, the standards that people might put up. But God has put up his banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow. Also in Isaiah chapter 5, this time, verse 26, he will raise a signal for nations far away and whistle for them from the ends of the earth. And behold, quickly, speedily, they come. That's a thought for the gospel of God's salvation, and how God has called us to himself, raised his signal to us and whistled for us from the ends of the earth, and behold, speedily they come. His people are willing in the day of his power, and his power is accompanied with his standard as it goes up. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12, he will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And think of the Israel in Numbers chapter 2, in the wilderness, in a land. But the Bible then goes on to speak about God raising the standard, which is it's not stopped by the borders of the earth. And God's word is what prevails, and the borders, he transcends the borders, he transcends the nations, and he calls out for nations to himself. He assembles the banished of Israel. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ, how Israel had rejected him, yet they'd banished him, crucifying him to the cross. But this does not stop God from his great purposes of raising him from the dead and through him gathering the dispersion of his people across. We hear these words, from the four corners of the earth. And that's how far his authority extends. And as we think of his banner going up with respect to salvation, so also with respect to judgment, also the Lord, his merciful works, and the Lord in his righteous works of judgment as well. And so Isaiah chapter 13, the oracle concerning Babylon. Verse 2, on a bare hill, raise a signal, cry aloud to them, wave the hand for them to enter the gates of the nobles. I myself have commanded my consecrated ones and have summoned my mighty men to execute my anger, my proudly exulting ones. The sound of a tumult is on the mountains as of a great multitude, the sound of an uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathering together. The Lord of hosts is mustering a host for battle. They come from a distant land, from the end of the heavens, the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. So this also is the righteous works of God and his mercy and his judgment. The signal goes up, and he accomplishes his great works, both of salvation and judgment. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, a verse I'm sure that is familiar and loved by you. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me is love. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me is love. And this is these words are words that are telling of what is to come on that great day of all of God's people gathered together at the wedding banquet, the feast of the Lamb of God. And his banner over me was love. And this is the standard under which we are brought to him and are gathered to him and live under him, and which is there for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, both here and forever. I think of, we mentioned recently, we looked at Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to 14, and it's another way of putting for us the banner under which we live in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to 14. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Why? Because of the banner. For sin will have no dominion over you. That's the banner under which we are brought by our precious Saviour Jesus Christ. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace, brought under the banner of our Lord and Saviour. So then, that's the standard has been raised, the banner, and as Israel was to raise the standard of the various tribes, so we can think of how our Lord Jesus Christ did that through the course of his ministry, and how he continues to do that for us in heaven and from heaven, and so also we following him, we hold up the banner, hold up the standard of belonging to God, and therefore submitting to his will and to his holy word. Secondly, let us look then at the arrangements for the people of God here, because it speaks to us of the way that the people were brought into formation, that we read of the tribes there in the first place facing towards the east. There in verse 3, the first tribes there belonging under the camp of Judah, camping on the east side toward the sunrise. And then from verse 10, we read of the tribes on the south side. And then we read of the tribes that will go, that will tuck in behind on the west side. And then fourthly, from verse 25, on the north side. Now the psalm that we were singing there from psalm number 80, interestingly, mentions the tribes that were tucked behind on the west side, with the direction of travel being east, then north, then the west side being tucked in behind the tabernacle. And we read what it says there in Psalm 80. You who are enthroned upon cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. If we're to understand that the psalm is making reference to what's described here for us in Numbers, what it's speaking of is the rear guard is coming up, the tribes of Ephraim, the tribes of Manasseh and Benjamin, as they come up, Lord, lead them and demonstrate to them your praise, your glory. Come, stir up your might, come to save us, restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. There was this picture here of this, the tribes are following behind the tabernacle, that what is presented to them from the back of the nation of Israel was presented to the nation as the might of God and God's face shining upon them and their restoration. So that's it seems to be then is what's picked up on here in Psalm number 80, which leads us simply, as we think of the arrangements, that the arrangement for Israel was that the people were moving. They were here in this formation of tribes in the north, south, east and west, and at the centre is the tabernacle. The tabernacle is at the centre of the people of Israel. We read there of the Levites as well, remembering, as we looked last time, of how they were exempted from the census that was taking place, that their appointment was to take care of the tabernacle and the priestly service there, and also to defend the tabernacle. That the tabernacle was at the centre. So here we have this image of the nation of Israel as they're making a way to the promised land. And what's at the centre of Israel? It's the tabernacle. It's the place where God has said, I will meet with you. And it's the place where there is the holy place and then the holy of holies. It's the place where there is the Ark of the Covenant. It's the place at the very centre of Israel, here at the very centre of the nation's life, is God. And we do want to take notice of this in the way that as the tabernacle is at the centre and the arrangements here of the country of Israel, we notice are not the arrangements that they decided to make, but the arrangements that God decided to make. It was God who said to them, you have these tribes in the north and these tribes on the east and the south and the west, and you have the tabernacle in the middle. It was God who was making these arrangements. And what we read of here, the tribes willingly being arranged by God. And so it's of great significance, of great importance, and of great importance for us to be thinking of today as well. For compare to the modern man, the modern day man, where does the modern day man think of himself? He thinks of himself as in the middle. That it's about him and it's his arrangements that matter. Whereas what the Bible is saying to us It's God who's in the middle. And it's God's arrangements that matter. I think of how we can so easily slip into trying to arrange God in life rather than having our lives arranged by God. And how easily we slip into thinking along those lines. And if that is the case today, isn't it today, the book, as we make our way through the book, will be helpful for us, I trust, to see is that as it is today, so it was also then as well. This was the great matter. It always has been the great matter, because it's got to do with the relationship between men and women and God. So what you find is God saying, this is how you're to be arranged, and this is how you're to set up. But then what we read of as we make our way through the book of Numbers is the difficulties that arise, the problems, the turning away from God, the turning against God, and the turning against what he has set up. The resistance to what God has ordained and planned. And so then, when we think of the ways in which this works out today, we're reminded that this is not new, but these very things are recorded for us in Scripture, told of us, and told because there is nothing good that dwells in our flesh, and to set the mind on the things of flesh is death, but to set our minds on the things of the Holy Spirit is life and peace. And what we read then is that even while this is taking place, that God has brought about these arrangements, that the tabernacle was here at the centre. And then later on, what we'll find in the Bible is, and this is pointing forward to it, there's a new centre, and the centre not being the tabernacle, but the one who came and tabernacled among us, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, that at the centre is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is at the centre of world history. He is at the centre of absolutely everything that has been done, and he comes he is at the centre. And we think of how this is the case with the cross, and how the cross is for us the very centre of all things that have happened and matter in the world. We set our clocks by the Lord Jesus coming into the world. We number the years after his coming, and the centre here of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Because at the centre here is God, and at the centre is God's love for a rebellious and wicked people, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever should believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So then, the standard, and then the arrangements, and the matter here then is who God is, and that his Son is at the centre. The matter then that follows that, having been brought under his standard, is not to try to arrange God in life one way or another, but to willingly submit to God in his arrangements for us, for one another. And that's what the Lord Jesus has taught us, isn't it? In the prayer where he has taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, let us pray then, shall we?